Looking for a job isn't easy. It used to be that you could apply at a big name tech company and build a great career for yourself. But times have changed. Many of these companies have gone full woke. And if you aren't the right gender, ethnicity, you don't use pronouns, or if you're not an activist for the preferred cause, then good luck. Why would you risk your career on that? At Red Balloon, we're connecting good employees with top quality companies that value you for your skills and your work ethic, not your social activism score. Employers who post jobs on Red Balloon are focused on creating an enjoyable and productive work culture, free from divisive woke mandates. So if you want to find a serious career path without the nonsense, come to Red Balloon and post your resume today. Because you shouldn't have to choose between your job and your values. That's redballoon.work, where you can find your future.
I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. There before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word. Victory. Victory in spite of all terror.
Norwich Municipality in Oxford County, Ontario, Canada, has voted to exclude pride and other flags on all township property. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Other Club with Mike and Tim. We are so pleased you're joining us. It's good to be back in the studio together this week. And we want to remind you that this show is produced in partnership with ChristianWeek.org and you. There are two ways, if you appreciate what we do here, that you can help support the show to grow our scope and our reach. And that is if you belong to a business or own a business or a church or a faculty at an educational institution, we want to reach your audience. And so reach out to us at the info@libertycoalitioncanada.com, and we'll get you set up with Christian Week's production team there, so you can help us in that way. But if you're just an individual, we would love to have you as a financial partner as well. And you can go to our analysis page at libertycoalitioncanada.com, and you can donate there to the work that we're doing, whether on a monthly basis or as a one-time donation. And we, of course, as always, appreciate every bit of support, financial and otherwise, from our supporters. And so while you're thinking about it, make sure you give us a five-star rating on your podcast catcher. Go to rumble.com and check out the Liberty Coalition Canada page to see all of our analysis videos, and share an episode with your friends, maybe this one.
That's great, Tim. And everybody, one of our partners that's so key, that's already jumped on board, is RockLink Investment Services. And, you know, Tim and I, we've talked lots about this. Who are you comfortable processing your Christian faith and worldview with? Is it, and does it include your investment advisors? At RockLink, they are concerned with the same issues that you are. They are willing to have open and honest conversations with you to put you back on track to achieve your financial goals while mitigating some of the moral and ethical risks and financial risk that we all face. So ask yourself, are you getting that type of level of alignment with your current financial institution? So email RockLink at info@rocklink.com or visit them at www.rocklink.com. And that is link with a C. So Tim, the event that we're talking about is just going to be the springboard for the theme that we're going to discuss. And that event is Norwich Municipality has voted to exclude the pride flag and other flags on its own township property. So Tim, why don't you walk us through this? This seems to be a very controversial decision, and I think that we've got a
lot. Does anything does anything pertaining to pride ever come without controversy? That's sort of our opening question. So really, this story actually began last June when the Norwich Business Improvement Association put up the so-called pride banners all around town, I'm assuming around their lampposts, when dozens of them were removed, vandalized, and or burned. His name was Jack Day, who runs the tractor supply company there, and was charged with theft under $5,000 for his contributions to the social justice cause there in Norwich. Since then, Councilman John Scholten has decided to bring down the tension in Norwich by regulating and limiting the municipal flag displays. Scholten told CBC News that he asked staff, city staff, to prepare a report about a flag bylaw. And when they didn't, he decided to take matters into his own hands to ask for the flag limits himself with a motion in city council. The vote went 3-2, and Mayor Jim Palmer was the tie-breaking vote, which kudos to Jim Palmer. Other than government flags, the only banners allowed to be installed on township streetlight poles are those, quote, promoting downtown businesses or for downtown beautification. Scholten also said the goal is to restore peace, harmony, and safety in our community. He said it is a very difficult, touchy situation, and we as a council need to take a stand. So Scholten there asserting his powers as a councilman to deal with the tensions in the community. So it's good to see this story caught our attention for many reasons, but we want to talk a little bit about flags, what they signify, what this really means at a deeper cultural level. And so, Mike, love to hear a little bit about what you've got for us on flags.
Yeah, so the reason why the rainbow flag is particularly controversial in Canada is because, you know, right now you can go to virtually any area and see that flag go up on government buildings for almost a month, and usually over a month, sometimes being flown permanently. And so flags signify something. You know, they originally were used mainly in warfare, and to some extent they would be connected to the insignia of a leader. It would serve to identify like who is friend or who is foe or where's a rallying point. And, you know, furthermore, flags are used to delineate territory. So, you know, we're living in Kentucky, and so we have an American flag and a Kentucky flag running over our home. And those flags, because they've been developed over time, because they've been developed out of a rich history, they usually have deep cultural meanings to them. There's usually an understanding of a cultural commitment somewhere. But now we're seeing these rainbow flags pop up with their own symbolism and with an agenda of forcing a township to fly this flag kind of over all the region. And, you know, Tim, there's two things I have about this. Number one, this is not connected to the region. It's not connected to I'm living here and I came here for these values, and so I fly this regional flag the way that we would the Canadian flag, or the way we would a provincial flag, or the way that we would an American flag. At the same time, they're also, you know, these rainbow flags are changing every 15 minutes. And that's because it's symbolizing identity politics, and the identity politics changes and shifts as the wind changes and shifts. So these flags are being imposed on these regions by activists, and Norwich has said no. We're not going to go back and forth based on which activist group is strong right now. And we can talk about it more, but I know you've got something to say. I do have something to say about only the state flag being flown, but I want you to jump in.
Sure. So flags, and this is why this is actually, I think, such a heated debate and why people react so strongly to this, because this is not merely a sticker on the side of a business, although it has become that. This is not merely a bumper sticker. We're talking about running a flag up a flagpole over a political and not sovereign, but a real representation of municipal power, of governing power. We're talking about running a flag up at the seat of power. So there's a reason why people react very strongly to that. And I want to just take you through a little bit more of what flags do signify, what they can signify. One of them is a position on a flagpole. Okay. We know that a flag at half mast is the international symbol for mourning. We know that the position on a flag can signify victory or defeat, which is why at peace times you have all flags on their own pole and they're all flown at the same height, unless you intend to display disrespect or aggression toward another nation. We have colors that can signify infectious disease. So a ship would raise a yellow flag if it had a yellow fever on board, and that flag would remain there until the ship had passed quarantine. We know that white is the symbol for surrender. We also have the orientation of the flag, no pun intended, of course, on this one, where an upside down flag would signal distress. All right. It would signal total distress and in need of help. So in a flag, and what's chosen for a flag, because we're going to talk about colors and so forth in a minute and what they represent. But as for nations, each color or bar or symbol is very carefully chosen. And these things depict national interests. They depict national geographies and religion, really meaningful things that unite people, things that you can unite around, things that you can build a culture out of. I mean, geography, right? Mountains or ocean or plains or valleys or all sorts of different geographic things that really shape a culture. Interestingly, and I found this while I was reading, Mike, after the United States defeated England, which, as we know, was a war to be free from England's reign, they still chose the colors of the Union Jack in the Star Spangled Banner to signify their history in the British Empire. So their flags show a deep cultural commitment and even a history as they're flown. And so I found that really important. We also know that flags sort of evoke a really important ritualistic thought when we consider them. Which is how you hold a flag, how you fold it, how you bring it down from a mast, how you raise it, not to allow it to touch the ground, how often they're replaced. I believe the Peace Tower in Canada, the flag is replaced every single day so that it can never show a sign of wear. The condition of it when it's flown over your house shows a lot about your pride in what you're flying. So those things are really important. And it reminded me of a story in 1976 when the Chicago Cubs outfielder Rick Monday rescued the American flag from being burned in the middle of the infield by two fans at Dodger Stadium. He ran in and snatched it from them to the cheering of the crowd. And at his next at-bat, he received a standing ovation and the scoreboard read, "Rick, you made a great play." And the fans broke out in one of the patriotic songs. I forget which one. But how the flag is treated is very important. So there's a lot of cultural meaning embedded in a flag. So that should help load up this conversation a little bit. When we talk about the pride flag, there's all of this weight, this freight that's being brought to the conversation.
Yeah, and I just want to bring our listeners back to an earlier comment that you made, and that is when a flag is flown by a government building, it represents the government. And that government is an elected government. And that government is a government who is supposed to be upholding justice. And so whenever there is another flag flown, and, you know, if flown at the same level, flown just underneath in parallel, the actual statement is that the government is upholding this viewpoint. And that's a very crucial issue when, there's lots of pride flags flown at individual businesses and individual homes. And you would be able to say to yourself as a Christian, okay, I'm going to minister to that home, or I'm not going to support that business if they're going to fly those particular colors. And yet, when you see government buildings flying these things, the statement is, no, you will align yourself across, and the government will help you align yourself with these values. So, you know, on that point, Tim, and how much this is really, how much the advocates are really pushing for this, is you can see this in the backlash about this decision. The head of the Oxford County Pride Association Tammy Murray said, "I'm a little confused on how not flying a flag that endorses inclusivity, diversity, equity, and inclusion." she got the double. I'm not sure how flying a flag that endorses inclusivity of inclusion of inclusendensen nation, so she goes on, is creating a safety issue. I think it's rhetoric, and I think it's an excuse to continue to discriminate against 2S LGBTQIA plus community. Now this, Tim, is actually a real point of discussion, and we need to stop here right now. Because, folks, there's a few things going on here. Number one, their flag does not really endorse inclusivity, diversity, and equity. It only endorses a certain amount of inclusivity, diversity, and equity. Now, then,
can we just say that one more time for the people in the back? The flag, the pride flag, contrary to everything that you're told on social media and by Justin Trudeau and by all those advocates and activists, the pride flag does not represent equity, diversity, and inclusion, full stop. It includes a certain level of inclusivity and no further. Mike, carry on. Just want to make that very clear for our listeners.
And then she goes on to say, I think it's rhetoric and I think it's an excuse to discriminate. Now, the words discernment and discrimination are can be very positive words. And so we want our listeners to understand two things. When they say it's rhetoric for you to say you're promoting safety, that's their rhetoric. And then when they say you're discriminating against this community, there is a level of truth to that. And this is why the Canadian laws as they stand are so dangerous, because when our Bill of Rights includes gender orientation and sexual, gender identity and sexual orientation, they are saying that people cannot be discriminated against. So the government has said, look, we are not necessarily going to discriminate against this community, but we are going to not promote anyone's ideology. Where the Christian would say, I wish the Christian flag might fly under the banner of the government, that too is not permitted. And so you have in this discussion, Tim, and I don't know if I've just confused everybody, but within this discussion, you have the reality that whichever flag wins, whichever worldview wins, there is a limiting of inclusivity, diversity, and equity. They're equity before the law. Diversity, when we're talking about ethnicity and whatnot, but not diversity of every view. Inclusion of moral behavior, exclusion of immorality. So on one hand, I want Christians to understand that if this county is going to say only government flags and we go, yeah, that's a good thing, then we have to realize that that government's not going to fly the Christian flag. But no matter what we do, discernment is required. Tim, I think I just circled around and bit my tail there. Help me unpack that more. You know where I'm trying to get at on that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So this discrimination thing is a big point here.
Tim's going to get the king of nuance this week, and I'm going to get the Mr. Thick. Go ahead, nuance.
I'll take it for 1 week. Let's see if we can unravel this a little bit. So you're right. The government is saying we're not going to discriminate against LGBT folk, but we're not going to fly their flag. And what's happened in this community is there's been a lot of social tension. We've got people tearing them down and burning them and so forth. And I don't necessarily think that's actually wrong. But where what this does bring up is the question of what is the government's role? What are they promoting? And again, this is where I want to connect what you said with what I said, which is that it's not a flag that exclusively stands for inclusivity, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Those, they may think that the flag symbolizes those things, but the flag symbolizes a much more specific set of values. And it actually, and I'll tie this back to my episode from last week on the UN report, the values that it's actually standing for are the rights of individuals to express whatever perverted sexuality they feel entitled to, which includes the formation of a family, a so-called family, around any sexual expression that they feel entitled to. It includes the right, the so-called right of people to mutilate their bodies and to take state-funded chemical treatments and surgeries to change their bodies to shed what they were given at their natural birth. That's the values that this flag actually stands for. So when they want to use this rhetoric to wrap around it, speaking of rhetoric, and say, oh, this is just about inclusivity and diversity. No, it's not about those things. It's about a much more specific set of values that a lot of people find heinous and disgusting. And for the government to openly promote those things is for the government to actually tell the community, this is what we stand for. And Mike, to your point about which flags are flown or not, I think this is Norwich setting an example for municipalities. And if it includes the Christian flag being banned for now, I think that's something that we'd be willing to take. But what I'd like to see is much more moral language put into this. I'd like to see more morally charged language by saying, we won't promote the disformity of sexuality. We will not promote the manipulation of the family or of natural genders and sexes. We are not going to promote the perversion of the family. I would like to see that, if I could charge that up a bit. However, we're excited, but that's sort of where I would go with that, is that we need moral language, not just sort of category language. We need to be specific in how we respond.
Right. This is why I brought it up. So when the government says no non-governmental flags, no non-regional flags, that can be seen as a victory. But it leads to the government, again, it leads to a pluralism that the secular government is neutral, and the secular government is going to mitigate risk and mitigate its citizens by not promoting one worldview. So it leads back into the whole, well, you don't have to walk around seeing the pride flag flown everywhere, but you do see the government flag flown everywhere. And so it leads back to statism in this respect of we're not going to fly anyone's flag. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we are not going to be able to get around it, going to your point, Tim, we're not going to be able to get around the word discriminate. We have to return to a society where sexual orientation that is outside of heterosexuality ordained by God within a monogamous marriage, and gender identity, which is I identify as a biological male or a biological female because I am biologically those things, where we actually go back into the Bill of Rights and have those categories removed so that we can discriminate against these behaviors. And that's the point I was trying to make. On one hand, we look at the flags being taken down and we go, this is a win. And it is a small victory because on one hand, they're saying, hey, we're not promoting any worldview. But what that leads us back is to the absurdity, and it leads us back to the confusion of secular pluralism. I want to read for you a quote. I want to read for you a quote out of Rush Dooney, and he's talking about Van Til's perspective on plurality. And this is what he says: without the Trinity, knowledge is impossible. Here within the Trinity is plurality in unity. So he's talking about three in one. And it's the only means of escaping the dilemma of human knowledge, which resolves itself on an anti-theistic ground into these categories. It is either an ultimate plurality without unity or the possibility of knowledge, or an ultimate unity without differentiation or meaning. And what, so what he's saying there is that when we just promote pluralism, when we just promote secular pluralism, what we're left with is a plurality in the culture without any possibility of knowledge. So you can't create law, you can't create election promises, you can't create families on any shared values, as you were talking about earlier, Tim, shared values. You are left with, hey, we put up with everybody, and everybody is left to make their own decisions in their own eyes. And that means that everything is stripped of knowledge and meaning. Or the flip side is the statist side, where there is unity and the government decides this is the unified decision, but then that strips away any meaning out of or differentiation in people's lives, because they just have to go with might is right. So just to tie this all up, that's what I was trying to get at. The flags coming down, we're moving towards that latter part where there's unity, but there's no differentiation of meaning. And unless we return back to the idea of God three in one, we are personal beings who interact personally and then diversely with other human beings within the bounds of the character of God, then we are then truly able to have a sense of differences because of different individuals, but meaning and knowledge because everything is going back to the truth of God. So with the flags coming down, we kind of lead to this might is right again, and Christians are only going to be able to get past these two problems where either the flag is flown or we don't have any meaning by saying it out loud. We have got to discriminate, discern against these immoral behaviors.
Yes, and when you're doing that, it made me have a thought I wasn't expecting to have, and that is, and it's so tied to your point, that we can't just say government flags only and that'll deal with the moral problem. John Schulton said, you know, I think that the regional flags are enough to unite everybody in this town. We don't need any new flags. We don't need any new flags to represent people because we're all represented by the state flags, Canadian, Ontario, and the local municipal flag. And so this comes off as a principled, we appreciate that. But you're right, Mike, the worldview in and underneath that says these flags can still represent all the evil things that you want to do in private. And you can find your identity in this community. You're welcome in this community, regardless of what views you hold. And there, you're right, there's no meaning. Meaning is stripped out of individual experience. And I'll take that one step further, and that is to say, what if in 2 years the next city council says, I'd like to vote to make an amendment to the city flag? And the city flag is now going to have the 82 different pride stripes on it.
Which they will do, Tim, because
because that's what they do.
Of course they'll do that.
So that's my point, is that so that will get around this bylaw.
And just really quick, I'll let you keep going, but the old flags used to have the embedded meaning of the Canadian flag. What does it symbolize? The supremacy of God and the rule of law. Like, it used to symbolize those things embedded in the flag. Now they're just creating new flags.
So that's my point, is that this bylaw is only good as long as this city council is there to uphold it. Because as soon as they vote in a new flag that has all the pride colors, they can say, there, now we're flying the government flag, and it's going to represent the same perversions that the old city council was unable to long-term deal with. And again, that's why we stress so importantly. And you're going to say, people are going to say, oh, you guys are so negative. You're going to find the negative in this story. Here's a town that finally stood up. And we applaud them because their names are in the paper. You know, they're going to get all the hate mail in the world, because with the pride activists, not only are you going to get, you're going to get beat later in the strategy game anyway, unless you're very principled, but they're going to lambaste you while they do it. They're first going to roast you over an open flame like a chestnut, and then they're going to go and beat you. So if you're going to take the heat, you might as well go all the way. That's what we're saying. And it's not might as well, but you're commanded to go all the way. That's our duty as citizens, is to go all the way with our worldview under the Lord Jesus Christ and say, those things are perversions, and we ban any representation of perversion in this town. We don't just ban any institutional flag that isn't government. So great point, Mike. I really appreciate that, because that teased out some of what I was thinking about it. And then I want to go back a little bit to these statements that were made about inclusion. And I don't know why, you know, these flags are just so great. Why wouldn't we fly them? Because I do want to talk about the Pride flag itself, which originated in 1978. Okay. I think his name's Harvey Milk. You know about him. He's the first openly gay politician elected in California. And they made a movie about him. I think the United States Navy named an aircraft carrier after him, because they're perverts. So this flag came, his friend designed it, and it originally had 8 stripes on them. And this is what they stood for: sex, life, healing, sunlight, nature, magic, art, serenity, and spirit. Now that's 9. So I don't know where the missing stripe is, but that was stripped down to 6 stripes later. But ironically, with all the calls against racism that took place in the last 5 years, Philadelphia actually commissioned a new design, which included a brown and black stripe. So it returned it to its 8 stripes, which are supposed to symbolize minority communities who are also queer or gay. And then in 2019, I believe, or 2021, we have the Progress Pride flag, which is the newest design. Hopefully we can get a shot of that up. It's just this expanding graphic for every new invention of human identity. And so it goes back to your point, Mike, that this flag doesn't actually promote unity. It promotes literally the stratification and the isolation of individuals. As Ben Shapiro said a couple of years ago, the flag of 5 years from now is just going to be a giant pixelated screen of 10 million different pixel colors. And you're going to be that one little pixel on there as this autonomous individual who has no connection to anybody else. So the Pride flag literally represents division. It represents having no unity and no shared meaning and no common heritage, except that fight against civil penalties for your perverted actions. That's their common heritage, is fighting against morality and public morality and family law and so forth. And so it's wildly hypocritical and ignorant for these people to gaslight and say this flag is all about unity and it's about peace and it's about joy. And then you as a citizen of your town are just supposed to look at that and say, yeah, that's fine. It represents peace. When what you know are the values are, it represents the deconstruction of public morality, which Mike, you and I hold as fathers, married to our wives and bearing children. Those values are a direct attack on the things for which we stand. And so to say this is about peace, it's about you, moral people, shutting your mouths, and we defining the public moral culture.
I've got so many thoughts on this. So my first thought goes towards what people would say to us about you're misunderstanding the separation of church and state. And I want to just talk about that really briefly. So, folks, what the Baptist and American understanding of the separation of church and state would be that the government would not elect or choose leaders for the church. So the government couldn't come in and pick a number of leaders who they favored to lead local churches, because the church recognized that the way that Scripture commands us to choose our leaders is either from trusted clergy who are biblical, or the commissioning of individuals, the selecting and anointing of individuals within the church body. So the separation of church and state was to say that, you know, this pagan guy who sacrifices to Moloch doesn't come in and become the Archbishop of Canterbury just because the king wanted him to. The flip side of the separation of church and state was also that there would be not one state denominational Christianity. So that the American country would not become an Episcopal country, or it would not become a Presbyterian country or a Baptist country, but there would be a flourishing of different forms of Christianity with where they disagree on secondary points that are not as clear in Scripture. What we have now is we have the separation of church and state gone so far as the idea that the promotion of any idea should be accepted in society. In order to have a secular plural society, the government pretends to pat its head to every religion and say all are equal, but none can influence. And so secular pluralism really leads back to the state making statements about truth and law and morality without lending itself to any authority. So just as the individual does not make decisions without going to an authority, so the state will philosophically and theologically go to its own authorities. The reason why I'm stating this, and this is important, is that what Tim and I are espousing is the separation of church and state the way it was historically understood, but we are encouraging a great influence of the church through the proclamation of the gospel, through the manifestation of different kingdom values, to be spoken to the state. So the local Christian goes to the local government and says, these type of behaviors should not be promoted. Why? Because there is a God in the universe to whom you must give an account, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that type of influence and call to repentance that eventually leads to the government listening to morality. So we're arguing for that. Tim, the second thought that I had, and I know I've been going for a little while here, so I'll let you in a minute. But the second thought I had is, man, if I'm going to live under anyone's banner, I'm going to live under Christ's banner. And if you just think of how much these flags symbolize, the St. George's flag of the Union Jack literally has the cross in it. And the cross is not the cross the most beautiful emblem to be represented on a flag? That the cross represents God's justice, that he takes sin seriously, that those who will do evil will be punished by a just system of judgment, either here or in the day of the Lord. And at the same time, it is an emblem of mercy where the Lord says, if you will put your faith in Christ, and if you will become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and if you will live under his lordship, you have forgiveness. And so it's no surprise that the homosexuals and the transvestites and anyone who is anti-God would want their flag flown. And we Christians have to get beyond the old, just discarding Christian warning and Christian prophecy to the government under this category of the separation of church and state. It was never created so that the church would not influence the state with the gospel, with the word of God, for the purposes of God. It was the opposite.
That's a great point. And actually, that provides an opportunity for Christians right now to phone up Jim Palmer, phone up John Scholten, talk to these people and share this with them to say, I appreciate your stand against this flag because of what it represents, but we need to embed and legislate according to a deeper worldview, because this is a bad path here. So there's an opportunity. There's a window there because you have people willing to take the arrows for their stand. So that's a good thing. We want to take that opening and disciple people who are clearly willing to stand up for what is right and may just not understand the full scope of the issue. So that's one thing I want to say. I appreciate you bringing that out, Mike, in terms of the influence that Christians ought to have with the state and speaking prophetically to the state. And the other thing about the flag you bring up at the cross, these nations, Ireland, Scotland, and England, we have the Union Jack, which every single one of them has a cross within it. The Union Jack is the marriage of the three flags that create this beautiful flag. And every single one in these nations believed it appropriate to symbolize the judgment of God, the justice of God, the mercy of God over their nation. It was a way of them saying, this is what we stand for. And when we talk about flags in terms of the pride, the so-called community, they know what they're doing when they run a flag up a flagpole. They're exercising dominion. They are exercising a declaration that this is what these people stand for and will stand for. And we know that in every nation, there are those under that flag who may feel conquered, who may feel marginalized, who may not feel represented. And they know that, and they don't care. They don't necessarily care that every person doesn't agree with them on their lifestyle choice. But what they care about is having the dominion of the flag standing over them. And Counselor Alicia Stubbs, I want to go to her on this because she recognizes that this doesn't change the values of the citizens. The citizens are going to believe what they're going to believe with a flag or without it. She says, in opposing the ban, it's no longer about inclusion. It's directly, specifically, and horrifyingly discrimination. It's a clear violation of the Human Rights Code. So what they're saying is, by not flying our flag, our rights are being violated. So when you ask what they perceive their rights to be, they perceive themselves to have the rights to exercise judicial dominance and dominion over a people, to have their interests represented in courts, right, in family law and in marriage law, to have their interests represented in the schools through education and curriculum, to have their interests represented in the clergy and in ecclesiastical order. It is their right to be represented and treated the way that they expect to be treated over all institutions. That's what that flag represents. It is a dominion, and there is a human rights challenge going out from this community. And here's my prediction, Norwich loses, and the flag goes up the flagpole, and the vote is overturned. That's my prediction.
Ironic.
But we'll see what happens.
You wouldn't have thought it, but my prediction is the opposite. So I don't think
love it
that what they're saying about the situation is true. In fact, it is not discrimination to say we don't want to promote anyone. It is not discrimination for the government to say we have a governmental flag that represents our region. We have a country flag. We have a regional. We have a provincial flag. You know, in the U.S., we have a state flag. We have the American flag. It's not discrimination to say, look, there are certain citizens who really don't like this rainbow, and I hate the fact that it's a rainbow, but this gay flag flying as dominant over all other worldviews, because that's exactly what they're doing. And I loved your point. They're raising it up to declare victory over all other worldviews. So it's not discrimination. What I am saying, Tim, is that we need to discriminate. And this is why the legal community, the legal climate in Canada is so dangerous to the Christian who actually needs to say the next thing. And the next thing is, not only should these flags not be flown, but the behavior should not be encouraged, permitted, and utilized in our communities in any way because it's dangerous. We actually have to teach our children to discern, to discriminate. So discern means to see the difference between. to know the course of action, to be able to discern between choosing having a heterosexual relationship where the parts fit together, babies are produced, and long-term health can be upheld with a healthy sexual partnership. That our kids have to be able to discern that path rather than the path of parts don't fit together, health is compromised, greatly threatened. And that then, when I make a discernment between one or two and I choose one, I'm actually truthfully discriminating against the other. That's so I think Norwich wins, but the point is that they'll win because we're still playing the technical legal games, because the legal climate is actually so dangerous, we're not winning the cultural games, which is homosexuals stop promoting what you're doing.
Mike, that might be a layup for King of Nuance for this week. I think that's a brilliant take. And I think that, but I'm going to pull a bit of an ace out of my pocket here. And I'm going to make one more argument for my point. And that is from Section 25 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is the framework for our human rights code. It says that this charter shall be interpreted in a manner consistent with the preservation and enhancement of the multicultural heritage of Canadians. So the reason why I think my view still stands up, although your point on the legal game versus the cultural game is brilliant, I do think that they will go so far as to say this fails to uphold the multicultural identity and heritage of Canada, and therefore it is in the interest of the town, and it is their duty, in fact, to uphold it. Now, I would love to see you be correct, but again, I think it's a short game. The long game is that we make the deep worldview assertions that win us the cultural victories rather than the technical ones. Because again, and I don't want to give ideas to the lobbyists in the LGBTQ, but all you got to do is vote to amend the city flag in the next 2 years, and you've got a pride flag forever. So Christians, you're going to have to think a little further and a little deeper than the technicalities. So I love it. I love flags. I spent 6 months visiting in Kentucky, Mike, with you, and I noticed there was a far fewer of the pride flags, and people are really proud of their state flag, which in Kentucky is united we stand, divided we fall. The Canadian flag, of course, the two red stripes representing the two C's, that our motto states Christ has dominion in between, and the Canadian identity exists in that dominion of Christ. The Union Jack, of course, the supremacy of God and Jesus Christ over all the nations. So flags are beautiful, and we ought to treat them with dignity. It's one of those ways that humanity expresses culture in really meaningful ways, and we as Christians uphold that. And so I'm going to leave it there. On this episode, we do commend these folks in Norwich. We would say to you, if you're in that area, go try to have a moment of discipleship and try to bring some of these ideas to these counselors and try to show them the big picture here, that what's really at stake. And of course, the human rights case is going to be very illuminating as this goes forward. But that's sort of it. And we're glad to see it. Mike, any final thoughts as we wrap up?
No, other than the fact that that we're living in a new day, and the new day, some of the old ideas, and when I say old, I mean the last 20 or 30 years, those old ideas where one nation unified under science, one nation unified under pluralism or multiculturalism is showing itself the emperor with no clothes that it is. And it's very painful to be the child in the crowd who says, oh, the emperor has no clothes. The emperor himself has a vested interest to say, I'm clothed, because if he admits he's not clothed, then he admits he was duped by the seamsters. The seamsters, the ones who told him that, you know, these fine linens are beautiful and only the wise and profound see them, they have a vested interest to keep the lie up because they're making money off of making no clothes. the child's parents have a vested interest because now they're the center of attention. It's really, really hard to say in faith in the word of God, this is the word of the Lord, where else can I go, the way that we saw Martin Luther do. But it is ultimately the only way forward for revival and reformation to occur, for enough people to come to this understanding of, no, we are at the bottom of the slippery slope. The emperor is standing there with no clothes, and we're all in this quagmire. And the only way to get out of this bottom is to crawl out of it and call other people out of it, specifically out of all of these ideologies that we've allowed to, you know, become put on par. And so, yeah, we have a very difficult road ahead as believers, as we hope to share the gospel, because the legal climate and the cultural climate is so
so hostile
so invested in their own production. So, you know, this has been good chat, Tim. Thanks for bringing it up. Appreciate all the research that you did to prepare. And everybody, thank you for listening. We are with you on this. Please give us a 5-star rating. Please share these podcasts out with other believers and with any non-believers who you think might be willing to listen about the Lordship of Christ.
And this was a close episode for King of Nuance and Mr. Thick. So please vote in the comments who gets Mr. Thick and who gets the King of Nuance, because I do feel like it was a tight race. So thanks for joining us, Mike. Thanks for everything. We'll see you all next Wednesday on The Other Club.
Of course you would say that. Godspeed, everyone.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.